I starved myself down 20 pounds in a matter of weeks because I'm not eating. And anybody, that happened to anybody, right? But it's unhealthy. It's like weird. I'm eating a quarter of everything. So that goes out the window eventually, because no one can live that way. I go to college, and the first semester, I'm doing restrictive rituals. The second semester, all bets are off, man. All bets are off. I'm in the Vendo land. I'm studying with family sized things. The thing of it is, right? 2 pound bags of peanut M&Ms, boxes of Wheat Thins, and a Diet Coke, right? Got to have a Diet Coke when you're binging like that, because you don't want to have too many calories, right? And I remember I was in a sorority and it was picture day, and I'm gaining weight. When I would gain weight, my face would swell up. I have little eyes anyway. My eyes are like little tiny slits. My face is like a basketball. Nothing fits. I have no clothes that fit, but large stretch pants. And it's picture day, and these willowy women, I remember them running around going, oh, it's picture day, it's picture day. I come out like a mole out of the darkness of the bathroom. I've been binging all night and trying to write a paper, and I'm like, oh my God. And I wish I could show you that picture. I'm like, I'm like literally, Anyway, you can imagine what the picture looked like. So that's college. I lost college. I can tell you where the John's grocery store, the Eagles grocery store, the Quick Trip, the fast food place. I can tell you all about that. How did I graduate? I don't know. I don't remember going to graduation. I see a picture of a cap and gown with my parents. But I can tell you, I binged on popcorn and peanut M&Ms the night before at my sister's house, because she also lived in the town where I went to college. That's college. I joined a theater company that performed in prisons. I traveled around the country and performed in penitentiaries, and I ate and I drank and smoked a pack of cigarettes a day and drove a school bus. It was like, again, years are lost binging, just binging now and eating voraciously. But then I backpacked around Europe, and again, a cigarette and a croissant and a glass of wine for dinner. So I lost weight again, but it's like sooner or later, I'm eating cookies in Copenhagen because I've had a feeling again. So then I moved to the Twin Cities, and now I'm binging out of the co-ops, but you know, it's yogurt covered peanuts and carob covered raisins, you know, and I'm granola and honey because I'm having feelings. Anyway, let's fast forward. I don't know where I'm with time, Caroline, but so I hear about OA. I will say that when I was an undergrad,
that's about 10 minutes. So
in undergrad, I heard about OA because I was literally sick in the bathroom from a binge, and I picked up a magazine in the bathroom and I'm reading it, and there's an article about OA, and I don't make the connection that I'm sick in the bathroom from binging, and there's this thing called OA. Anyway, it's 1986. I get to Minneapolis and I hear about OA, and I call. And someone answers the phone, like, wow, someone answers the 12-step phone. And they say that there was a meeting here, and I go to a meeting in 86, and I never forget the invitation to you in traditional OA that is read. And at the end, if you guys remember it, it says, welcome to OA, welcome home. And I thought, oh my God, you guys are doing the same thing. I had no idea you guys were binging too. I had no idea anybody was doing this, like what I was doing too. I tried to work it. I flunked. I tried. I got a sponsor that day, but everything was suggested. And so in traditional, and that's not the program, it was me, I flunked OA. From 86 to 2001, I tried to work it. I had 8 weeks of abstinence in that whole time, and I white knuckled it, and I kind of called in my food. But man, I remember I thought my mother had breast cancer, and I drank some Shabbat wine in my roommate had in the refrigerator, and then I ate a sheet cake, you know, and I was off and running, 94 to 2001. And you guys know the drill. I mean, I'm living in a house and I've had a binge, and I would got gas so bad, the guy thought that their sewer had backed up. Now, I'm sorry to be so graphic, but this is the disease, right? And he's going to call the city to try to get our sewer, because clearly some, no, it's me. It's me because I've binged so bad. And that's what would happen. But I was just, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. So what happened? Oh, there's so many stories I could tell you, but you know, right? All the secret. I will just say that by 4 p.m., oh, I would just white knuckle. I would white knuckle for the day. I'd eat a grapefruit and an egg for half a grapefruit and an egg for breakfast because that was Weight Watchers. Oh, I tried Weight Watchers. I even went to Diet Center and I was a Diet Center counselor. Okay. Oh, and I binged my way out of that. So anyway, what happened? I'm in OA. I'm losing my train of thought. I'm in OA and it's not working. And I'm in a therapy appointment and the therapist says, why can't you stop? And I said, well, I'd be too sad if I stopped eating and drinking also. And I heard myself say that. Sad? What am I sad about? I didn't have no idea. I didn't know feelings, you know? So I remember her saying that, sad. What am I sad? I don't know why I'm sad. I remember having a lot of anger. I was getting my graduate degree and I was auditioning for some people. And somebody even asked my professor, what is Laura so angry about? I didn't know I was angry either. Like angry and sad, clearly eating on top of all of it. So anyway, then my mom got really sick and my mother and me had a very strained relationship. I'm not blaming it on her at all that I have an eating disorder, but it's very tense my whole life. And she was dying and she was in hospice. So I went down to my hometown to be with her. And the biggest gift that she gave me is that she passed away with me right in front of me in hospice. And we were all like, oh, way to go, mom, way to go. But it shocked me to my core because I realized that this wasn't dress rehearsal, that this was life happening. And I'm eating Bugles and drinking Kahlua when I leave the hospital room. I'm not present to my mother. I can't be, but she dies in front of me and I'm like, oh my gosh. So now I've got this sad, I'm angry, don't know what, but, and now my mother's passed and I feel this release. I believe that my mother has always been on the other side helping me. That's my own personal belief. But so I'm driving back to Minnesota after my mom's funeral and I had a vision, not with these eyes, but in my mind's eyes, but it was very clear. I'm driving in like country. And the thing was, I just drove this just now. I'm just coming from this cornfields on either side, blue sky above, hum of the pavement below, and I'm just driving. And all of a sudden I think that I'm this age that I was, no relationship, no, I mean, it's like, what am I doing with my life? Now my mother's gone. And I saw that all the years ahead, and they were like dominoes. They looked like dominoes. Why? I don't even play dominoes. But they all, like, there was a row of dominoes and that all the dominoes ahead would look the same. And all the dominoes behind me looked the same. And that if I didn't change right then, it'd be one long line of dominoes until I died.
2 minutes.
Same. Thank you. That was that five, Caroline? Two. Oh, anyway. So I went to my first town meeting, November 7, 2001. That was right after my mom died. I took a 24-hour chip. I said, you guys are crazy, but for an anthropological experiment, I'll try this. For 30 days, I got my 30-day chip. At December 9, 2001, my entire life changed because I did everything that we do. So constant static in my head for 26 years. The first day that I did everything that we do, the static ceased. I had peace with my food for the first time in my life. I've never looked back. I have a daily reprieve based on my spiritual condition. I get up with every footfall. I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I call my sponsor. Good morning. I give her my food. I give her my assignment. I try to do my assignment a couple of hours after that. My life is complete. I have peace. I have peace in my life. As I said before, I got problems, but not food or weight. I'm closer to my higher power. Who knew? What got me is that somebody said, Lord, don't you want to be a clear and open channel for God? And I realized that food was choking the channel that whole time. And I said, that's what I really want, is intimate connection with the divine. Well, I couldn't get there because peanut M&Ms are in the way. And of all of you too, I couldn't care about any of you. I couldn't. And I said, that's all we wanted is a relationship. Creativity in relationships is what I really want. And I couldn't get there. I owe my life to the How program. I owe my life, as Tamara was saying, to this, you know, simple program. And as someone said, is this all I have to do? Do assignment every day? Call three people and weigh and measure my, is that all? Is that all? And I have freedom. That's it. My name is Laura E. I'm a compulsive of Belinum, and I'm so grateful to be here with that I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Okay. We have time for pitches. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In How meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Please turn on your camera and unmute yourself. I see Caroline's hand is up. Would you like to go, Caroline?
I would. Thank you. Let me time myself. I'm Caroline, compulsive eater and bulimic. I'm so grateful to be here this evening and be on this meeting. Thank you so much to the speakers who shared so much. I heard so much of my story, although I can answer yes to question 14, and that is that doctors and my therapists all saw that I had some problems with eating. And in fact, my therapist had said to me, why don't you try Overeaters Anonymous? And I said, I will never go to one of those groups. And he said, why not? And I said, well, they're filled with weak and needy people. And that's how I thought about it. I just thought, I don't want to be a weak and needy person like those people that can't control their food. And yet, I still remember the moment I stood in my kitchen, I looked up at the light and I thought, I can't believe I'm living my life like this, my one life. And I just thought, this is not what I wanted or expected from life. And yet I didn't think people in OA could possibly, I was super smart, you know, so how could all these dummies figured out something I was trying to figure out for so many years? So, but I was desperate. I got to a moment of desperation. I went to OA. I had tried all the things they talk about in our wonderful literature. And I went to the meeting and I thought, well, there's just no way this is going to work for me. But I thought, okay, well, I will try everything. I'll do everything they say and I'll prove to them that it doesn't work for me, that I'm unique and different. And of course, tons smarter than all these people. So there's no way it's going to work for me. I would have figured it all out on my own if it were this easy. Just like, as the speaker said, weigh and measure your food, call it to a sponsor, do some reading and writing, support others, get to a couple meetings a week. And that was way too simple. But I did it. I did it. And no one was more shocked than me when it started to work. It actually started to work. And the humbling thing for me is that I was so sure. I mean, literally, totally sure, like not even a little doubt in my mind. I was sure that it wouldn't work. And then I began to think, like, what else am I totally convinced about that I think is true that's maybe not true, right? Because here was something I completely rejected. And I didn't want to be a weak and needy person. And I didn't want to have fellowship and I didn't want to, you know, join a group. And yet here was my salvation finally from a life of horrible fighting with food, fighting with self-abuse. I was willing to do any kind of self-abuse in order to try to control my eating. And now I do not. And I'm very, very grateful for that and for all of you. And that's my 3 minutes. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you, Caroline. Now, Val, would you like to pitch?
Sure. Hi, I'm Valerie. I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you for calling me. Oh, boy. I've got a lot going on in my house here, so I'm going to do my best. My son might show up in the background playing his virtual reality. I've asked him not to, but, you know, he's 13 and, you know, priorities. Thank you, Laura, for sharing. Thank you, who just shared a little about self-abuse and just kind of standing there and saying like what my life, I don't mean to crosstalk, but let's see, you know, on the topic of being like an open channel for God and just, you know, being present in my life, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that it's always going to look pretty, you know? So I had a little incident tonight where with one of my family members, and he's arguably in active addiction, alcohol. And, it's my dad's birthday and, you know, we're supposed to meet a restaurant and, you know, I've got like, you know, all these different things going on and we're communicating and he ends up leaving, you know, cause we're running late. Cause you know, we've got all this other stuff going on and my trailer breaks down, whatever, this typical family stuff. I'm like, well, just turn around and come back. My dad flew here, but, you know, and this isn't about my brother. It's more about like, does it matter what kind of son my brother is to my dad? Or does it, for me, does it matter what kind of daughter I am to my dad? And you know, there was like a point where we sat down for dinner and it was like just my dad and my two kids. And he's, you know, I think I said he's going to be 89. He's 89 and he's actually 43 years sober as well. God willing, I hope he makes it to 50, it'll be 2030. Anyway, so, you know, I was able to set aside, can you go away, please? Can you go away? My daughter's just standing there with mud on her. Look. I'm working on this for my dad right now because, happy 89th birthday, old fart, Grandpa Art. But that part in the reading and the closing, that's like, you know, my feelings may be hurt, but I don't need to, you know, cause like, I wanted to then like just bash my brother and talk about my feelings and be hurt and start crying and make a scene, call the family members, you know, and do all the things that opposite of what we learn in this program. And I'm able, because of this program, to not, you know, sit there and call everybody, not send nasty texts to my brother, you know, not bash my brother to my dad and just, you know, enjoy the meal, you know, weigh and measure my meal and enjoy my dad's 89th birthday. And I learned that here. So thanks for letting me share. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Val. Okay, Mary, it looks like you have, yes, 3 minutes.
Thank okay. You. Well, I am just coming back from a family reunion, of which there were 10 adults and 6 children, ranging in age from 11 to 6 months old. And because of the plurality of the kids and their ages, we did not see fit to go out to any meal. So hooray. And because of the kids, there were no casseroles. I mean, there wasn't anything mixed because kids just, unless it's like mac and cheese, they won't eat it. So I felt like I so easy. And people, because I've been in the rooms for over 10 years, they're all used to what I'm doing. So every night, you know, they were doing these massive amounts of Samoas and I was just sort of sitting there and, you know, which is fine because I was present with all of them and they were having a great time and, you know, not a problem. I mean, it's so nice to not be thinking about food all the time. And I brought what I needed. I brought a lot of vegetables. And fortunately, one of my daughters-in-law is a big vegetable eater as well. So, you know, it's just great. It's really great. And they all came and this morning they all went away. So here I am. I made it. And with that, I passed.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you. Mary. Thank you to all the pitches here. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all of those who participated, especially our speaker, Laura E., who offered so much of herself. Thank you. We also encourage everyone to sign up for service for next week's meeting. You can click on the Sign Up Genius link that was posted in the chat to sign up for readings and tools for future meetings. May we please have the reading just for today. You don't need to be a sponsor to do this reading.
All right. Yeah, this is Alexis. I can do it. Sorry, it's just at a funny spot in the
wonderful. Thank you,
Alexis. In the document. All right. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt like I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that, quote, most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, or concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate, anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. And I pass.
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you. Our closing statement, to those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will help you reach and maintain a healthy weight. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of your life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Please unmute yourselves and turn on your video. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. Keep coming back. It works.
If you work it, give a lot of love. Give a lot of love and service because you're worth it.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes.
Great meeting.
Yes.
Thanks, buddy.
Welcome, Tammy and Lisa.
Yes. Time. Yeah, Tammy and Lisa and come Beth back. And Joe.
Welcome, Tammy. Welcome,
thank
Lisa.
You. Thank you.
Yes. Stay for the group conscience meeting if you want.